Hello and welcome back to Buzzwords and Bullshit with myself and Carl. It's been a while since you joined us, or we joined you, whichever way you want to look at it. But we thought we'd do a sort of end of year roundup, sort of Christmas special, some way of just sort of looking back at what we've done, seen, anything that's caught our eye over the last sort of 12 months, and we might even dip into what's coming next year and things to look forward to. Yeah, hopefully it's worthwhile.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. We haven't got a really good track record, but stick with it. It might get better. See you in a bit. Right, it's nearly Christmas. It's fucking freezing. Oh, all the agronomists, they're all off doing their bloody skiing or shooting or whatever. All the cows are in the shed. What are we going to talk about, Andrew?
That's a really good question. I think when you look back at what's been going on, what's happened, it's been a pretty good year all round for regen agriculture. I think the buzzword is growing. I think the movement is growing. The religion that is regenerative agriculture is certainly growing. You look at the Farmers Weekly, the Farmers Guardian. There's articles, stories, conversations around regenerative practices that are going on farm, changing farmers' fortunes, building soil health. The popularity of shows like Groundswell, Down to Earth continues going from strength to strength. And I see actually this week that the show Down to Earth that was hosted by Tim Downs in Shropshire last year, or this year, is coming back again next year, but it's going to be a north and a south show. So there'll be two shows. So what was one show is now two shows. And that's going to be good news for everybody looking at trying to understand and explore regenerative agriculture.
Is it really, or is it just lots more people making more money in twice the number of sites?
This is the thing, as we keep saying, regenerative agriculture, genuine, true regenerative agriculture doesn't require inputs.
Excuse me.
Doesn't require inputs. So the only person that should be making money is the farmer. So
Exactly.
that's no bad thing.
So I did notice recently. Corteva have bought Stoller Bioscience. What do you reckon about that? Greenwashing? Frightened that they're not selling, as many pesticides to people now? Or
I think there's a
are we going to get
realization.
sued for saying this?
No? Well, I hope not. I doubt it. They're probably not even listening. Who cares?
Yeah, my name's Andrew, by the way.
I've lost my train of thought. Brilliant.
Did you have
It's a
one?
couple of minutes in, it's all going wrong. I think that the realization is that chemicals, pesticides, isn't necessarily the answer long term in the future. You've got to look and try and be more sustainable, more environmentally friendly, improve soil health, reduce carbon footprints, etc., etc. They've got to do things a little bit differently. And as a company that's very much committed to manufacturing and supplying chemicals, pesticides, etc., etc., they're very much that's their area of expertise. So when they come to change tact and look at other options, they can go and employ those expertise that they clearly don't have, or they can look at who's doing it in the market, who's potentially available for us to buy. And they've decided that Stoller, rightly or wrongly, is the people that they want to jump in bed with. The future will tell as to whether or not that was a good decision. We're both fairly active in the UK. Stoller don't have a huge presence here. We've looked at some of their products in relative detail. You probably looked at them further. What do you make of that move?
Personally, I think it smacks of desperation. I think
Don't
it's
hold back.
no. I think it's more of a marketing thing, a bit of greenwashing. I think that they see money to be made from the new paradigm, if you like. And I'm just very skeptical, very cynical. Some of the Stoller products work. I've looked at the seed treatments, and they seem to increase tillering and things like that. This isn't an advert, by the way. So there is scope for some biostimulants to have effects. But yeah, are they now just a part of the big steam train of massive ag industry that is trying to take over this sector?
my reservations, and this probably carries over from our biostimulants podcast that we did a while ago, was looking at the benefits of them, and we need to delve into that a little bit more. And you know, we hold our hands up and say that we've been a bit slack on producing these podcasts for a while, but we'll look
been
at that
busy.
in the, we have been busy, but we'll look at that in the new year. But I think the conversation has to be had is okay, Mr. Farmer, you're going to spend a little bit of money on ammonium nitrate, for example, your typical synthetic fertilizers. Do you replace that little bit of money and replace it with biostimulants? Are you going to get a greater return on investment? Yes or no? That's probably a conversation we just don't know at this point. And then you've got to look about the motivations. You know, the farmer, okay, maybe he doesn't need to make money. Maybe he's okay doing the right thing or building soil health or feeding the biology, because he doesn't need to make any money. Is that still the crux of the matter? And the one drawback in regenerative agriculture is, at the moment, does it pay?
Well, yeah, I mean, part of sustainability is you've got to make money on farm. But the trouble is, there's loads of people nipping away at your profits out there. All these people with like carbon credits, they see sort of carbon sequestration in soil as a source of them being able to continue their industry and then offsetting it, you know, with soil carbon, essentially. So they're using the farmer as a resource so that they can continue in their iniquitous methodology,
But
if you like.
then farmers are being used at the moment. So I had the conversation with somebody, and he shall remain nameless. And I'm hopefully pick up the conversation with him again in the not too distant future. But he was talking about trying to encourage uptake of regenerative farming. You know, rightly or wrongly, irrelevant, but trying to encourage farmers to take up the regenerative movement. And he was talking about large corporates. Well, at the moment, large corporates are weaponize, well, not weaponizing, monetizing the regenerative agricultural story. So their suppliers, i.e. farmers, are adopting regenerative practices, and these farmers are, you know, in the eyes of the world, doing a good thing. They're increasing biodiversity, they're improving soil, all of these things, all of these buzzwords that we know about. But the farmer himself isn't profiting from that process, that journey. The person that is profiteering from that is the large corporate that's ultimately selling the goods to the end consumer at the end of the supply chain. So the farmer's doing all the hard work, and once again, the only person that's sort of profiteering from that hard work that the farmer's doing, rightly or wrongly, are the large corporates. So
Same
whereas
old, same old.
it's exactly the same. So farmers are trying to do the right thing by farming possibly more sustainably, more regeneratively, whatever that is, and we will never define that, so whatever that is. But they're not getting the benefits from it. The only people I feel that are currently benefiting from a move towards regenerative farming practices are farmers, growers that are selling direct, because they're the ones that are benefiting from their own narrative that they themselves have created, talking to local buyers, local villagers. You know, if you've got a little farm shop on the edge of a town, you're talking to all the town folk that come and buy your milk and your cheese and your eggs. And if you can tell them that little old Daisy over there, who's got a calf at foot and grazes for 200 days of the year, you know, there's a nice story there. Oh, that's nice, I'm going to buy your milk rather than go to Tesco's or Aldi or wherever it is and buy their milk. So that's the only place where farmers are actually benefiting financially from regenerative agriculture, which I feel is the biggest drawback.
So, are the big corporates a movement for good then, in the sense that some farmers that wouldn't be convinced by regen are having to do it to sell their product to the big corporates? So, in the end, you're getting a situation where more farms are farming regeneratively, which is good for the environment, or
But
is.
this is the thing, is always over history, farmers get good at something. So there was everybody in the dairy industry, which is sort of a bit more my area, if you will. You know, farmers or buyers wanted white water, and it was yield, yield, yield. So farmers got really good at producing high yielding cows, and the milk buyers were having to pay the price for that. So they changed the contracts, and all of a sudden they went to milk solids. So they move, okay, forget yield, we're going to pay you on the solids that you produce. Well, all of a sudden we're going to get really good at producing milk solids, And these milk buyers are going to move the goalposts once again. It's the same with regenerative agriculture. Rather than incentivizing farmers for doing one particular method of farming, good or bad, rather than incentivizing them, they penalize them for not doing it. So the farmer's no better off. He's just got to adapt to what the market wants. And what the market wants is what the big corporates in the world of dairy, the milk buyers, are telling you to do. So if the dairy buyer, Arla, Omsco, Yo Valley, Muller, Wiseman, all of these milk buyers, if they tell you to do something, you're going to have to do it.
So what's it in it for the big corporates? What's driving it? Is it because there's someone in an office in London, some sort of like man with a man bun and hipster skinny jeans that's sitting there thinking, oh, wow, it'd be really good if we all ate tofu and save the world? And is it these Tarquins that are actually sort of like driving the big corporates, which are driving regen because there's some nebulous idea that they're saving the planet?
The big corporates are driven by maintaining or increasing their market share. So their sales will dictate what happens. Their feedback that they have, the engagement that they have with their customers, if their customers, or if they get the sense that their customers want, you know, tofu or oat milk as opposed to meat or dairy, they will provide what they think their customers want. So at the moment, with the focus on COP 26, 27, the future of the net zero by 2030, 40 or 50, whenever, whoever is admitted to whenever and whatever, whatever that is, the big corporates feel that there is an appetite for regenerative, sustainable farming practices.
But are they driving that or responding to it?
They're responding to it, but I don't think the demand is there. So, as always, there's a little bit of demand from a small selection of the end consumer. So there's a little bit of demand, and the companies, big corporates, recognise this, and rather than being, and they hate to be the last one to the party, so rather than being last one to the party, they react and they overreact and they go to the extreme, and then they sort of magnify the voice of the few and portray it over everybody. So what was started off as maybe 1%, 2%, maybe even 5% of the end consumer is looking for X, you know, say it's regenerative milk. So we want regenerative milk. 5% of the market wants regenerative milk. Hang on a minute, Arla's reacting to this. There's a huge shift in the trends, buying trends. Let's overreact, let's overcompensate, let's make sure we're ahead of the curve. So when this curve really does get going, we're in a position to satisfy the needs of the masses. But in doing so, they actually magnify and speed up that process and the demand for those particular products. And it's a sort of symbiotic relationship between the consumer and these larger corporates. They're feeding each other.
So regenerative agriculture is a marketing thing. It's just pure marketing.
Regenerative agriculture started off with the absolute best intentions. However, it has been now turned and used as a marketing tool by large corporates to either maintain or increase their market share.
Look, Christmas is coming up. You're going to get a lot of fat fuckers eating shit food, getting even fatter.
Yeah.
Right.
Me being so, one of them.
Me too. I'm not going to fit into my mankini by January, I tell you.
Thank the Lord.
It looks like John McCririck down there. It's terrible. But that aside, so it's still, we're talking about regenerative agriculture being driven by these corporates,
yeah,
and how it's all sort of like marketing led and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But still, the majority of people are eating nutrient poor or calorie empty food.
Yeah.
Because they just can't afford regeneratively.
Yeah.
Produced food. So where ultimately is this going? Is this going to be ditched, or is it just going to be for the Waitrose people that buy their, yeah, Waitrose essentials, octopus, yeah, 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 in olive oil sort of stuff? Where's this ultimately going? Poor people are still going to be poor and eating shit food.
Yeah, and I think to manipulate what the average person consumes at this point in this current climate is morally wrong. I think the research that came out here a couple of weeks ago was that the average person in the UK, this is the average, has £40 a week to spend on food.
Okay.
£40 a week. Now, I probably spend £40 on food by Tuesday, probably.
Yeah.
Not that I'm buying, I just enjoy my food and I like good quality food, so I probably do spend more than the average. But you know, you think about the £40 being the average, that average will be brought up by the top 1% eating their caviar and all of that good stuff. So that's going to bring that average up massively. So the average person hasn't got much to spend on money. They're going to buy empty calories because they need to fill up their children, they need to fill up themselves, they need to provide energy and nutrients to keep their kids warm and alive. We cannot afford that regenerative agriculture becomes the only way of farming at the moment, because it is a premium product. You know, you speak to the little farm shop on the edge of the town, you know, they're selling milk twice the price of what the supermarkets are, but they've got a really nice story and people like to engage with farmers. We've seen a real connection again between the urban and the rural communities because of things like COVID and Brexit and farm shops and buying local, and that's a good thing. But ultimately, I think we are going to be limited by the amount of money we have in our back pocket and therefore what we can and cannot buy. That will always be, even on farm, it always comes back to economics and the money. It's exactly the same for the consumer. If there's a choice between free range, which I think free range dairy, which is a farce, and conventional milk, there's going to be an easy choice. It's whichever's the cheapest.
Well, it's like free range eggs, isn't it?
Free range eggs, battery eggs. You know, there's an awful lot of these nice stories, you know, free range dairy. Well, most cows are out grazing anyway. Yeah. To classify as a free range dairy, your cows have to be out for a certain number of days of the year. Most are anyway.
So it comes back again to marketing.
Yeah.
So I'm getting really, really frustrated now by this whole regenerative concept. When you look at it on the ground, on a farm, it seems really fantastic. You're increasing biodiversity, increasing your soil carbon, all this sort of stuff. It's all good.
Yeah.
Reducing your inputs, doing the right thing. But what is motivating this ultimately? It's the population of farmers doing this. Most of them, there's got to be an incentive, and that comes from the corporates, I guess. I know this is going over old ground, but it's like, where are the pure regen farmers?
Regen farming at its core, at the basis of regen farming, is ultimately a good thing. But when you talk to any farmer in the country, in the world, their number one concern is profitability.
Yeah.
The reason why we've had such a shift towards regenerative farming practices in the last 12, 18 months is partly due to input prices.
Yeah.
So the price of nitrogen, 300% increase. You know, your P, K fertilizers, chemicals, everything has gone up. Diesel, machinery, you know, it's all gone up. You know, I remember when I was first started working on a farm, a £100,000 tractor was the absolute daddy of tractors. Now you can't get a tractor for less than £100,000. You know, the inflation across the whole farming sector has increased exponentially in that time. So Mr. Farmer is looking at it, thinking, hang on a minute, I'm spending more and more money here. I'm struggling to get hold of nitrogen, I'm struggling to get hold of P or K, whatever it might be. Well, sod it. Let's go without using it this year. Let's go without. And then they're seeing somebody and they've gone to Groundswell, or they've seen in the Farmer's Guardian that there's somebody that's doing regenerative farming and he's improved his soil and he's reduced his inputs and he's maintained his yield, that he's still being profitable. The reality is that farmer has always been there. That way of farming's always been there. We've just now given it a name and we've given it a little bit of spotlight, if you will, a bit of limelight, and it's becoming a more acceptable method of farming, more mainstream method of farming, driven again by these larger corporates that are seeing trends on the other end of the food chain, which is why it will continue and the regenerative movement will continue to increase in popularity, because again, fertilizer prices aren't coming down.
So when Putin gets a bullet in the brain and they peel his cold, dead hand off the red button, and all of a sudden things go back to a modicum of normality, and fertilizer prices start to drop.
Yeah.
Are people still going to be regenerative, or are they going to say, oh, fuck it, I'm going to buy a bag of Nitram and shove that on?
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. There will be farmers that don't go back to using it, but there will be farmers that do.
Yeah.
And it all depends on the economics of it. So if they are not being told by the milk buyers or the corporates or the supermarkets to not use a product, i.e. ammonium nitrate. Right, Mr. Farmer, you are not allowed to use ammonium nitrate. They won't use it.
Yeah.
If they are not told that they cannot use it, and it financially makes sense to use it, they will use it.
Yeah.
Unless Elms comes in and encourages them not to.
Yeah.
So
for our American listeners, Elms is a
environmental land management scheme.
Yeah, the government's trying to make us, you know, a bit more environmentally aware. So yeah.
Public money for public good. Is that right? Public money for public good?
Yeah, that's worked well, didn't it?
The slogan that they use. Public money for public good. And a big push seems to be biodiversity, but government changes every week. I think government changes more often than I change my bedding.
Yeah, I read somewhere someone's got a bottle of washing up liquid that has lasted longer than three different prime ministers.
I think it was the lettuce.
Oh yeah,
that they had on the webcam comparing it to Liz Truss's reign as prime minister.
I think we're straying into
highly amusing. Yeah, we're not apolitical.
Yeah, absolutely. Where were we? Anyway, look, fuck it. We've been rambling for over 20 minutes now about this, and I think we've flogged that horse.
Yeah, we're covering old ground. What my parting comment is that innovation happens on farm, at a farm level. You know, it's led by farmers. Farmers are at the cutting edge, and any good innovation will survive the test of time, whether that's regenerative or not regenerative, whether it makes a farmer's life easier or whether it makes them more profitable. Innovation happens on farm, and good, genuine innovations will live or survive the test of time.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So we've decided regenerative agriculture is just a buzzword. It's a marketing ploy, but there will be some adherents that actually believe in it. A little bit like Christianity, I suppose. Sorry, America. But stepping away from that, what have we learned from this year? So we've been a bit more critical, I guess, a little bit more investigative personally and as a team about regenerative agriculture. What do you feel this year? What have been the steps forward and the steps back in 2022?
Steps forward. That's a really difficult one, because everything that's being done that I would consider a sort of step forward was being done in 2021. It's just more people are doing it.
Okay.
So the step forward, you know, cover crops. Well, I think we both agree that cover crops are a good thing, and they have some benefits and add real value to a farming enterprise.
Yeah.
I think we both agree that. They were doing cover crops 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So it's not a new sort of innovation, if you will, but there's more people that are doing it.
New way of marketing it.
Maybe the seed companies have got on and realized, hang on a minute, there's a whole market here. We can sell a lot more of a cover crops. Let's promote cover cropping, and all of a sudden it's more mainstream. So maybe it has, again, like the consumer, a little bit of interest from the average farmer, maybe 2-3% interest. Then the seed companies get on board, and that interest is magnified. So I don't know that there's any real groundbreaking changes in regenerative agriculture in the last 12 months, but there is a continued interest. We are seeing more people adopt more of the practices, which makes me think that moving forward, those practices that have been adopted, whether it's the integration of livestock or cover crops or min-till or no-till, whatever it might be.
Context.
Thanks, Gabe. that's going to continue, and that will stand the test of time. So I think for me, the biggest positive in the last 12 months is that more and more people are trying regenerative farming practices, and more people are seeing positive results from these practices, some more so than others. Some, actually, I'd probably say very few in isolation, very few significant benefits in isolation, but as part of a regenerative farming plan combined with several different techniques, they're seeing some positive benefits which will stand the test of time. So I think that's probably the biggest plus for the regenerative movement / religion that it's becoming.
Cool. I think one of the best outcomes this year has been less nitrogen as a salt going into the soil. That's whether that's regenerative or not. I think people starting to reconsider organic manures and things like that. Whether it's regenerative or whether it's as a financial thing, I think that's one of the greatest benefits this year. Yeah. And I think, you know, in the terms of the tons of nitrate that's not been sold, that's got to be a benefit.
Definitely. I think that's a really good point. Whether it was for financial reasons or moral reasons, in that you don't want to apply it onto the soil and kill all your biology or whatever it might be, poison your plant, then the end goal is the same. Whatever the motivations, the end goal is the same. And less artificial, synthetic, particularly ammonium nitrate applied, the better. Definitely.
So where has regen shot itself in the foot this year?
Regen has shot itself in the foot, and I'm not saying that's an easy one to answer, but I believe this quite passionately, actually, that regen's biggest issue is that it seems a little bit like us or them. You either are or you aren't. There's no halfway house. There's no middle ground. You either a regen farmer or you're not a regen farmer, and if you're not a regen farmer, you're a knob.
That's Andrew's own personal opinion there. I wouldn't agree with that at all.
No, that's, definitely not. No, and that's the sense that I get. You go to Brownswell and you talk to people. If you're not a regen farmer, you're not
killing
doing
the planet.
That. Okay. That's a completely wrong way to go about these things. We as a movement, regenerative agriculture, and I say we because it's something I do believe in. I say we because it's everybody, it's across the industry. If we have a us or them, you're either in or you're not, you form that sort of group, that little echo chamber, we isolate ourselves from other farming methods. And like you said about regen, agro, ecologists, bioscientologists, or whatever they are called, they are all agronomists.
Yeah.
And whether it's regenerative agriculture, sustainable agriculture, intensive, extensive, organic, conventional, it's still agriculture, and you're all trying to do the same thing: produce meat, dairy, grow crops, whatever it might be. You're all trying to do the same thing. You have a different way of doing it. That's fine. That doesn't mean to say one person's right or one person's wrong. It's just different. Different from the outside is strange and a bit scary, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. And that, I feel, is regenerative agriculture's biggest downfall.
Have you been talking to my wife? Difference not always bad. Sorry, Donna, I know you're listening. Sorry. Right, okay. So we should think about wrapping this up. We're in a shed on a farm. It's fucking freezing. I'm shaking like a shitting dog here. Inappropriate clothing. Andrew's...
I've got gloves on because it's bloody cold.
It is, but actually it's to stop him playing with himself. But... they're medical. Anyway, it's coming up to Christmas. Have we got any final thoughts that we want to share with our listener, our one lonely listener sat in a tractor cab?
I think viewing... my New Year's resolution is going to be to contribute more to this podcast and provide more information. I think we've made a good start in the year 2022. I think there is an appetite for information. I think people are genuinely interested, not necessarily in what we've got to say, but the knowledge, the information that's out there, and trying to decipher that into some sort of something that makes a little bit of sense. I think that's something that I'm looking forward to doing, and the appetite is there. So I feel we have a role to play in trying to disseminate some of the information that is available to provide people with information.
Yeah, and we want you to get involved. So if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, we've got a Twitter. Yeah, we've got a Twitter thing at AgBulsh. That's at AGBULLSH. Get involved. Tell us we're twats. Tell Andrew to take his gloves off. Whatever. Just get involved. And if you want to be part of it, let us know. Join the conversation. Come on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know, our opinions, we try and remain a little bit neutral, and we try and explore. And when we look at things, we are looking at things with an open mind. You know, we're looking at the good and the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, and everything in between. But we do have a little bit of bias. Of course we do. Everybody has a slight bias. We read something, we form an opinion, and then when we talk about that opinion, it's going to come through. So we're happy for anybody to come and challenge us. We'll challenge you, you challenge us. That's the way in which the world works, and that's the way in which we can learn. We don't learn by patting each other on the back, saying how good a job we've done. We learn by interacting, challenging, and engaging, and we want people to do that. And if there's a topic or something you're thinking about, let us know. We can discuss said topic. It might be useful. It probably won't be.
Just rambling nonsense.
But you might enjoy listening to us nonetheless.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think it just remains to wish you all a very happy Christmas. I hope that Santa, when he empties his sack all over your living room, that you get what you want out of it. Wish you a very, very merry new year, a nice regenerative new year. And yeah, we'll see you in the new year.
Thank you very much.
Ta-ra.